Hello, and welcome to Mystified. This is a podcast where we bring you strange and unusual stories. My name is Tasha.
And this is Steven.
And we are so glad that you clicked on this little hair episode and are listening to us. We're your host, in case you didn't know that. Hostess with the mostess. That's me. You're just host. I'm hostess with the mostess.
I'm the ghost host with the most.
Ooh. Coming in quick with that comeback. Bating. Good for you. Your hosting skills are getting up there.
I straight up just stole that out of House of a Thousand Corpses.
Ah. Okay, so you can't even use that. That's copyrighted.
I don't know if it's copyrighted, but that's straight.
I'm pretty sure Rob Zombie would say that that's copyrighted. Sorry, Rob. It was a joke. It was a shout out to House of a Thousand Corpses. You can find that on DVD, VHS. It's your local. Are there any? What is that? Family Video? Family Video is still open. It's probably not there, though. You may have to like buy it off of Amazon if you don't have it. Or I'm sure Rob's got a few copies in his closet.
Or if you go to, you know, what is it usually? Marco's Pizza that's in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
And they repeatedly try to give you a coupon.
They're trying to force you to go next door to Family Video. And you're like, no, I don't do this anymore. I have fucking Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marco's Pizza is not. It's pretty good pizza, but, you know.
The high pressure for Family Video, though, is overwhelming. Yeah.
Anyway, so we're your hosts. So thank you so much for joining us. We were just talking about what we did a couple years ago. My brother came up to visit around Halloween time, and we went bowling for one, and then just got wasted. We lived in this small town. It's not really, well, back then it was a small town, Waxahachie.
Yeah, it's still about 30-something thousand people.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. Small city? No?
Yeah.
Okay. And we went to this bowling alley where there was like 10 other people, and we got wasted drunk. It was really bad.
You did. I was driving.
Me and Thorne did, to be fair, my brother. Yeah. It was a great time. Anyways, and afterwards we decided to go to the popular, infamous, world-renowned haunted restaurant known as the Catfish Plantation. So first off, it's not a plantation. It's a little kind of like gingerbread house.
No, it's a Victorian house, but it's not even a big Victorian house.
Yeah, it's not what you would consider a plantation home. It's like a mini plant, like a Mac plantation home.
Well, like if you go through Waxahachie and you are like looking for a place that looks haunted, there's a lot more houses that you're like, that place is definitely haunted.
This one doesn't really, I mean, it was kind of nondescript.
Yeah, I mean, you can drive past it and miss it. Like it doesn't stand out.
In a neighborhood
that's surrounded by giant palatial homes.
Yeah.
Like,
so we went there. If any of you have ever been there, cool. Let us know. Let me know if you had any experiences. But we went because me and my brother were drunk and we thought it would just be a fun fucking time. And we were hungry, and catfish and fried seafood sounded good. And then bonus, you know, ghosts, right? Why we thought this was a great idea or thing to do around Halloween, I don't know. Because like half the fucking city thought it was also a great idea. And we waited for what? How long would you say?
It was between 2 to 3 hours easy.
2 to 3 hours. So picture this. Me drunk in this tiny little, and it was like what? The front porch? Is that kind of like, it was like,
yeah,
a screened
like
in
a
porch?
Screened in
is what you're sitting on. Here, yeah. It's Texas. It was still hot. It was not cool.
It wasn't like sweltering hot that day, but it was humid as shit because it had like mist rained that
morning. And there's a crap ton of people in there. And you know, like when you're drunk and you're hungry, you really want to eat. But the longer it goes that you don't eat, you start to like phase into like hungover already because you're not drinking anymore because you're now sitting. I think my brother went and bought a couple drinks from the bar, but it was just like too much of a hassle to like continue to do it.
No. That was, the convenience store down the road.
Oh, that's right. Because they don't have a bar. Correct. So after we like white trashed it for a little while and brought booze in, then we were just like, we're just going to tough it out and wait.
I tried to get y'all to leave.
I was like,
let's go somewhere else.
We had already committed. We were invested. And damn it, I wanted some fucking catfish. And I don't even like catfish, but yeah. I was drunk and I wanted catfish. So needless to say, when we did sit down and eat, I mean, it was a seafood restaurant. So, I mean.
Well, it prides itself on being the best Cajun this side of Louisiana. And it's more like down home cooking than anything else.
Well, let me just clarify this. We are in Waxahachie, very, very far from the Texas-Louisiana border. Yeah. And it is not the best Cajun food this side of Louisiana.
I mean, it's one of those weird things where a place thinks that because they put blackened something on the menu that they're suddenly a Cajun restaurant.
No.
Yeah, there's a little bit more to it than that.
No. So that was probably the scariest thing, was the fact that they thought that was a thing. But I mean, overall, it was okay. But by the time we sat down to eat, like, we were pissed and I was already hungover. We had kids with us, like, they were being crazy. Tristan was still a little baby. I mean, me and Thorne were just trying to get our drink on again. So we did not have any ghostly experiences while we were there. I even went to the bathroom.
The reputedly haunted hotspot,
woman's
bathroom.
And I waited. Nothing happened. So that was kind of a bum. But if you've ever been there and something happened, cool. Let us know. Supposedly, a lot of stuff's happened to a lot of people. There's like all these letters and shit that people have written about their experiences. The guest
book. They have a guest book that they have you sign and write down if you've had any experiences.
I like that. My remembrance of what happened that night is so fucking wrong because I was so drunk. Mm-hmm. That lady at that bowling alley bar, she knew what she was fucking doing. I'm pretty sure we were drinking Jaeger also. Thorne, were we drinking Jaeger? I think so. That was intense. I'm really proud of myself. I didn't get sick that night.
me and the other adults that were with us that were also babysitting you and your brother. We all had a great time. We couldn't convince you guys to leave the restaurant that we sat at for 3 hours.
Loved it. Anyway, so it wasn't that bad. Not the best Cajun food, but still worth kind of checking out, I guess, if you're in the Waxahachie area. But you're right, there's a lot more spookier places than that place. But like the courthouse.
The courthouse
is really cool. The story behind it's kind of bullshit also, but Waxahachie really leans into it. Mm-hmm. But it's creepy. The little faces on the courthouse are very creepy.
Well, it's a very stark courthouse in itself. It's built in this like quasi Romanesque, almost Gothic style. It's in the middle of a like little square.
Town square.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's definitely something that's worth checking out. And yeah, it has, I think there's 12 carved faces on it. The story that they tell is that the man that was hired to decorate the outside of it fell in love with the daughter of the boarding house owner where he was staying, and she wasn't interested. And so it starts out, I think they call them the unrequited love faces, because the first one is this like beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. And then as they go around, they get more and more like garish and hideous.
Like snarling.
Yeah.
Weird.
And supposedly that's what it was, is it's like he was so mad and he just continued to get more and more angry about, you know, her shooting him down. So he just he kept recarving her, but uglier each time. Mm-hmm. It's not what historians say happened, but
right.
Waxahachie loves that story and prints it on postcards and everything else.
But Waxahachie also has another jewel in their treasure
so
box.
To speak.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us about that one?
I can't remember which building it's on, but in one of the adjacent buildings to the courthouse, there is the stylized carving of a vulva.
Yeah, baby.
On the side of a building, and you have to really look to see it. But then you're like, wait, is that a... Yeah, it is.
And historians have confirmed
that that is what that,
that is. What that is. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that guy just had a great night the night before, and he was just...
Well, I don't know if it was carved by the same person or
no, just whoever was carving that, that was like, man, you know, I was going to drop the P word, but I'm not going to because I'm controlling myself. But just being like, damn, she had it banging and just drew her... Carved her vajayjay.
Maybe he was on the side of a building. He just did it without thinking. He was just trying to carve something.
He was so in love.
That's was, just
he
what
thought
came
it was
going
to be a rose petal, but it just kept morphing into this. Yeah. Yeah. Wonder if he got fired. If he was like, I'm just not going to tell anybody, and then nobody noticed for a while because they were all too worried about the freaky ass faces on the damn courthouse. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy. Huh? Go him. You know he was proud of that. Mm-hmm. Every time he walk through the little square, he'd look over at his, hey girl.
Well, I mean, most of the carvers that did a lot of that work were like German immigrants, so they probably were migratory, so he probably never stepped foot back in the town after that.
Yeah,
he just left his legacy a carved vagina.
What if that's like his mark, like in every building he's ever carved on,
there's a vagina
somewhere. You just have to find it. It's like, instead of Where's Waldo?
Yeah, that wouldn't be that surprising, honestly. But
go him. Yeah. So in case you haven't guessed, we're talking Texas legends tonight. We are in full spooky season right now, and we do have some really great, really heavy, weird episodes lined up. So we thought just some like a palate cleanser right now, just kind of cleanse the palate with some spooky lore and curses and weird Texas shit for you people that don't live in Texas, or, you know, live in Texas but don't know all this weird shit that's in Texas. I don't know why you wouldn't know about all this weird shit in Texas, because Texas is weird. We got all kinds of stuff happening down here.
Yeah.
And we stake claim on like all of it. We have the most famous blah, 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 and the craziest blah, 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 and the most murders and blah, blah, blah. I mean,
we're the size of some continents, so it's...
That's true.
There's plenty of space for the crazy.
That's true. We pack it all in.
Yeah.
All into state. So,
And we were our own republic for a while, so...
Yes, we were. Sam Houston. We have a giant-ass Sam Houston statue. Like, it's...
Enormous.
It's not little, folks. It's big. We're like, real big. How tall you say that statue is?
Shit, I don't even know. 20 some odd foot? 30? 40? Hell, I don't know.
It's got to be taller than that. I've only stopped and looked at it like one time.
See, I've never stopped and looked at it.
Because it's a marker for me, because like driving home and going to Dallas, like halfway. So once you see Sam Houston, you're like, hey, bro. And then you just keep going and you know you got 2 hours left.
Well, it's one of those places like... I've never stopped there because it's always fucking packed and people are, yeah.
Yeah.
Roadside attractions that are crawling with people aren't that exciting.
Yeah. And there's no like weird things there. There's no like Fiji mermaids or, you know, oddities. We're going to stop.
It's not like it's upside down or something like that. That
like if we're going to stop and look at something, there should probably be a slight risk you may get kidnapped. Like that's, it needs to be slightly sketchy like that.
Well, I mean, it is in the middle of nowhere in Texas. I'm sure there's probably been people kidnapped there.
Oh man, we need to look that up. That is probably a thing.
Yeah. Cause it's down 45.
Yeah. There you go.
So
is that the killing grounds?
That's on the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I thought they were.
I mean, 45 as a highway for people who aren't in the know. Basically, when they opened 45, it was a huge attraction to a lot of serial killers all of a sudden for some fucking reason.
Oh, yeah.
And Yeah, it, back in the early 80s and stuff, it was just like dumping all along there. And it was like they were just super tickled that they had this new highway to like murder people on. It was insane.
Yeah, it's the Texas killing fields all the way down. But 45 does like
it goes a long dissect way. Dissect
the state like straight down.
And most of it
towards the east.
And most of it you're driving through just rolling hills and trees. Nothing. So, yeah.
So it's very easy to, I usually go like 90, 95.
As do there. Most people. So you don't notice things laying over in the ditch.
That's true. What I'm looking for in the ditch has red and blue lights. That's what I'm looking right. for in the ditch. Not a body.
Right.
So cool. Well, I just have a couple like Texas legends. And one of them is one that like my great grandpa used to tell me, my grandpa Jack, that I'd kind of forgotten about until I saw it in a book recently. And I don't know, I think he kind of told me this story in like talking about my great grandma at the time, like kind of talking shit about her on the down low, but she was kind of crazy. So I don't know. But I read the story again. I was like, oh my God, I totally forgot about this story. So I have one. And then you have a curse, right? Mm-hmm. So mine isn't scary, but it's a story that my great grandpa used to tell me and I'm going to tell you. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay. This is the old woman of Honey Island, which I think I've driven through and gone through. It is northwest of Beaumont by like 30 miles. It's slightly north of Koontz. Which I mean, these are like Beaumont isn't a little town. It's like the big city in the area, but Koontz and Kirbyville and like all these other little towns are.
Is it actually an island?
I don't know. Some places listed it as Honey Island Swamp, so I don't know. But it's in the big thicket forest.
So it could be an island but it's just in the middle of a swamp instead of like
in the middle of a fucking forest.
Yeah.
Like I don't know.
That's Texas.
There you go. Like, this shit's all kind of crazy. But okay, so this is the old woman of Honey Island. A long time ago, in a little town of Honey Island, lived a rich widow named Hannah Brown. Hannah's husband had died, leaving her a whopping $10,000 from his life insurance policy. Hannah was smart with her money, and with careful planning and smart investing, she was able to turn that $10,000 into a fortune. Once her money and future were secured, she began to spend. She built a three-story mansion in Honey Island with large rooms, fine plush furnishings, and all the amenities of the time. She rode around in a large phaeton carriage drawn by white horses. She was bougie now and like wanted everybody to know. She was like, look at my fucking money.
All those five people in Honey Island.
Yeah.
And the gators.
Yeah, pretty much. In her little swamp, whatever. Her most beloved possessions was her jewelry. She handpicked each piece and showed more affection to them than even her own family. She did not have any children of her own, so her love was poured into her diamonds, emeralds, rubies, and sapphires. She had necklaces, rings, brooches, and bracelets. She was never seen without her adornments. And it was even rumored that she slept in them at night. As Hannah grew older, she became more recluse and selfish. This is when I start thinking that maybe he was telling me about my grandma.
Right.
Great grandma, sorry. Yeah, I mean. Anyways, okay. She changed her will to state that all her jewelry, which was now worth a small fortune, was to be buried with her. She wanted to be wearing her favorite pieces and the rest put in a jewelry box and placed between her hands. Hannah died at the ripe age of 80, and there were a lot of grieving when she passed, though not so much for her, as she was an unpleasant woman and her family did not choose to be abused by her, but for the lovely and expensive jewelry that was now to be buried along with her. Hannah's sister and daughter moved into Hannah's old home on the day of the funeral, so that big old mansion she built. They threw lavish parties and scoured the house looking for any additional money or valuables. A few days later, a group of young ruffians dug up Hannah's newly buried grave. They wanted the legendary jewels and saw no reason for Hannah to keep them, as she didn't need them anymore. They popped open the casket, and to their surprise, Hannah's eyes were wide open and she seemed to be staring at them. Then a grin slid across her pale face. No one could draw in a breath as she sat up and pointed at them with one bony finger. Her other hand was clutching her jewelry box against her withered chest. "What do you want?" she demanded of the young men. All three stumbled back and ran from the graveyard as quickly as possible. It was even said that one of the kids' hair had turned solid white from fear. Later that night, Hannah's sister and niece were asleep in the guest room when they were awoken by a sudden chill in the room. They saw Hannah standing at the foot of the bed, glaring down at them with red, accusing eyes, her jewels shining brightly in the moonlight. "Out," she hissed, and both women ran from the house, never to return. To this day, the old mansion still stands in Honey Island. And if you are out that way around dusk, you may see a woman dressed in black standing in front of the window. There'll be a colored light dancing around her as the sunlight glistens off the jewels that are draped across her dead, shriveled neck.
Ba-doom. What a greedy asshole.
Right? And then she gets to haunt the shit.
Right? God. Fucking tyrant.
Right? Well, that was her island swamp land money jewel thing. Damn it. She was going to take that shit to her grave.
And beyond.
And beyond. How dare you try to take her shit? So, yeah, I remember my grandpa like telling me about the woman that was greedy and was buried with all of her stuff. And if you came and disturbed it, he would tell me she would chase you around the rose bushes. And that's why I really think he was talking about my great grandma, because he planted this huge rose garden for her. And when I would go over there and hang out, that's what he would do, is he would show me how to prune these roses and shit. I mean, and they were like rows and rows and rows of roses. And he said she would chase you around the rose with her little bunny fingers and try to like scratch you. And then he would chase it. He's a little tiny old man. And I'm like, like running through, trying not to get hit by the rose bushes, you know? So spooky, spooky ghost story. Whatever. It's not even like a lesson ghost story, because the ghost wins. Like the
no, it is, and it's actually a common reoccurring theme, especially in Texas and a lot of Southern ghost stories, but especially Texas ghost stories. The whole like ill-gotten gold is no one's gain thing,
right?
Where these rich people or pirates or whatever go to the grave with the secrets of their loot, and nobody ever gets any of it, no matter what they do to get to it. That's something that happens again and again in Texas. Like, you don't win against Texas ghosts.
Right. Don't ever take our shit.
Yeah.
If we're buried with it or we die with that secret, you ain't getting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you try, woe unto you.
That's
you're going
right
to have a really bad
you're
time.
Gonna have white hair. Which, I mean, you could have saved a lot of money if that was the style back then.
That it was.
Because I've bleached my hair platinum before, and it took a lot of time and a lot of money. I think I would have preferred, because I get scared all the time. If I could have just got scared really good and my hair go white, boom. That's good, right? No?
Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, so have you ever thought about starting a podcast? Or maybe you have a podcast and you're not quite sure what to do with it? Buzzsprouts is for you. They are the platform that we use to produce our podcast. Podcasting is not hard when you have the right partners, and Buzzsprout is an amazing partner to have. The team there is passionate about helping you and your podcast succeed. What I love about them is when I upload an episode, they send it to all podcasting platforms. I don't have to worry about doing that. Join over 100,000 podcasters that already use Buzzsprouts. You can start for free. We do have a link in the description of this podcast. If you click that link, it lets Buzzsprout know that we sent you, and they will send you a $20 Amazon gift card when you sign up for a paid plan. Some of their paid plans are as low as $12 a month. So check out Buzzsprouts. They're amazing. We love them, and we know you will too. Bye. Okay. So I have one more kind of short. This one is a very, very common one. It's like one of the first like weird tales. There's multiple places where this phenomenon supposedly happens. The one I'm going to tell is outside of San Antonio, but there's, you're going to know the story, and there's a lot of places, and they've actually tried to disprove this on one of those like ghost hunter shows things, and they were able to, I think, partly, but whatever. Yeah,
they were able to successfully disprove it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one part is like totally made up, but there's another part that, you know, whatevs. We'll get to it.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is called Tiny Helpers. There's a railroad crossing at Villa Main Street just outside of San Antonio. It's the early 1900s, and everyone is either driving a Model A or a Model T. And those cars, as we know, don't have a lot of power and tend to stall out a lot. They would always stall on these tracks because the crossing is like an incline, and then the tracks kind of like peak. So the cars would stall right at the top and then take a little bit to start to get off the tracks. It was very dangerous, and people were warned that they should not drive in this area at night due to the fact that there were a lot of trains that would pass through. There also weren't, you know, the little like train.
Yeah, the arms. Garb. They hadn't come up with that
There's
idea
no
yet.
Red lights like flashing to tell you a train was coming. You basically didn't know that there was a train coming until it was up on you. Because having lived by trains, and yeah, trains are loud, but what's really loud are the whistles. If they're not blowing,
which they don't at night usually.
I mean, you don't tend to notice them until they're like on top of you, right?
That's how so many people have gotten killed at that Goatman bridge. Because, yeah, trains come on quick. And if they're not signaling, right? You don't know they're coming.
Yeah. One dark moonless night, a family with five small children were traveling down the road and, of course, stalled at the crossing. The driver had not noticed that a train was so close, and before he could get everyone out of the car, the train plowed into the vehicle and killed everyone inside. Soon after, locals began to notice a strange phenomenon. Every time a car would stall on the tracks, if a train was near it, somehow the car would start to roll over the tracks without the car being restarted. Countless lives were saved because people still kept driving up to this, you know, train crossing in the middle of the night. You know, oh my God, this family died last week, but we're still going to keep doing that shit because we don't learn. So a group of teens decided to see if this was true. They parked on the tracks, and when they saw the train light, they got scared and started yelling for the driver to start the car. But before he could get the car started, the car began to roll forward by itself and made it safely off the tracks before the train blew by. The kids jumped out of the car, but no one was around. So they got smart because, you know, they're so smart to start with. Let's go sit on the train track, see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, love teenagers. So good. So they got smart and decided to sprinkle baking flour on the back of the car and then sit on the tracks again. Well, this time they were scared and decided not to be in the car. So they actually parked the car on the tracks and hid in a bush nearby. When the train came, they watched as the car did begin to roll forward. As soon as the train passed, they ran up to the car, but again, no one was there. However, they did see something that night. On the back of the car were five tiny sets of handprints in the flour. Little bitty hands.
That is
your
a
car.
Terrible way little to spend hands. Eternity.
Pushing your car.
You're
right?
A toddler or a small child, and forever you have to push stupid asses, broken down cars
right
off of a train track.
They didn't learn from your horrific dad.
Right. That's just, God, yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah. That's some serious ass purgatory. Like,
yeah.
I mean, how bad of a child were you that the gods are like, you must stay here and push these cars for X amount of time.
Are you kidding me?
They're like, damn it, Jimmy, there's another one. And they're like, yeah. But that, I mean, there's multiple places where you can go
all over
where, that's very common, but yeah, there is
and
one.
It's always some imperceivable slope mm-hmm. to the road that people don't. And they're like, oh God, see, it works. But yeah, when you have somebody out there that actually has the tools, they measure it and like, no, actually there's a slope. So,
or it's the whole fingerprint thing is usually there's oils on the car.
Yeah.
And then you sprinkle the flour on and then you go driving around and then you get back and during that time, the wind has blown off, you know, the excess, and you can just see the oils through the, so the prints were there to begin with.
Yeah. But. And also if you ever sit in a parking lot for any amount of time and notice how many little kids touch other people's cars. Yeah.
Always touching shit.
So yeah, it's
not
the best burden of proof there.
Yeah. So those are my Texas legends that I went with. I know you went a little more extreme with a curse because you're you. And
yep. And this one is one that I'd kind of forgotten about until I jogged my memory. And it actually, it's funny because I've known this story for a while, but we now live not far from where it takes place. And so it kind of sucks, but it's not much of it's left. But
we'll take a field trip and go check it out.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's
any of it left.
Yeah. We'll get to that.
Okay. Because cool.
That's part of the curse.
Hey.
This is the curse of the redhead.
Oh, yes. Fiery redhead?
Yes, fiery redhead.
Yeah, baby. Maybe it was her vulva. Maybe that vulva was from a fiery redhead, and he was just so scorched in his heart, he had to carve it. Yeah? Anyways, go.
So, New Birmingham is an East Texas ghost town today, and not really even much of a ghost town. There's like hardly anything left out there. But back in the late 1800s, it was a place of big dreams. The town was the brainchild of a former sewing machine salesman by the name of Anderson Blevins. He, I guess, was a traveling sewing machine salesman, and he had spent some time traveling through the Piney Woods. And somehow he became aware that there were large amounts of iron ore in the area around Rusk, Texas, that weren't being mined in any serious way. The only real operation that was doing anything at that time was a small operation that was being run out of the Rusk penitentiary. And they were hard. I mean, but
wow.
Yeah.
So slave labor,
pretty much. And they were still just they weren't doing much of anything.
Jeez.
But Blevins was from Alabama, and at that time in Alabama, the town of Birmingham was booming,
mm-hmm.
Not on iron, but on steel, and people were making massive fortunes, and he was like, this could be my thing. So he decided that he was going to build this place, and he was going to call it New Birmingham.
New Birmingham. I can't even say it either.
New Birmingham.
That does not roll off the fucking tongue.
But see, what's even...
Birmingham isn't hard to say. Saying New Birmingham is hard.
It's like it adds a trip in there. Yeah. But what makes it even worse is that Birmingham, Alabama is named after Birmingham, England. Because Birmingham, England is thought to have... is usually considered the birthplace of manufacturing and like industry.
Yeah.
So he
I thought you were gonna tell me Birmingham, England was named after something else. Like,
oh God.
That would have been hilarious. You know,
I wouldn't be surprised if we just didn't keep finding Birmingham's going all the way back to like anyway. But yeah, I mean, in Texas we have all these places that are named after other places, but I just thought that one was funny that it was named after a copy.
Yeah.
Like so
it's not new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blevins pitched the idea to his brother-in-law, a former Confederate general by the name of W.H. Hammond. Hammond was actually already quite wealthy and had made a lot of money in oil, but he was always up to make some more. So
hell yeah,
he had connections from the oil industry and whatnot, and they were able to get some investors to sign on to it. And before long, they raised enough money to purchase 20,000 acres of land that was just like teeming with iron ore. They built two 50-ton furnaces to fire the ore, and they immediately put them to use, and they started the operation. And the main one was named the Tassie Bell after Blevins' wife. I don't know what he's trying to say by that, but
the Tassie Bell. Is her name Bell? Or is her name Tassie?
I'm guessing her name is Tassie Bell.
Oh.
But I don't know if he's saying that she's full of hot air or what, but
right. Okay.
That just doesn't seem like the nicest thing to name after your wife. But anyway.
Okay.
So not long after that, the town would also construct a pipe works, a brick kiln, and a coal-fired electrical plant that brought electricity to the area. Damn. And this is in the late 1880s.
Holy shit.
In okay. the middle of fucking nowhere in East Texas. So by 1889, the town was officially incorporated just 2 short years after it was created. And it already had banks, a rail depot, school, its own newspaper, and an ice plant.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Ice plant?
Yeah.
They knew what the fuck was going on. You got to cool shit off.
And what was even more is that it had only been around for a couple of years, but it didn't have that like growing pains feel. It felt like an established community that had been like they did everything right.
Right.
And it was getting a lot of attention and got the nickname the Iron Queen of the Southwest and seemed to have a bright future ahead of it. An official statement from the mining company published in 1891 describes it thusly. Quote, on November 12, 1888, New Birmingham had not a single house completed. It was entirely in the woods. Today, with nearly 400 buildings completed and occupied, she claims, and justly so, a population of 1,500. The streets are graded and houses and streets lighted with electricity. The business houses are the best class of brick buildings. It boasts a street railway and a magnificent hotel, the Southern, with all modern improvements. The industries represented today are 2 blast furnaces, a pipe foundry, planing mill, sash and door factory, steam laundry, steam bakery, and other industries being negotiated for.
Damn,
in two years? 400 buildings in 2 years.
These dudes knew how to build a fucking city. Oh.
But.
Okay.
Then all of a sudden, things changed.
Okay.
So according to locals, it wasn't bad luck that did the town in, but it was a curse levied against it by the wife of W.H. Hammond himself.
Tassie?
Her sister.
Oh, okay.
They were brother-in-laws.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So Tassie's sister, Ella.
Got it.
The General Hammond's wife enjoyed the luxury of her husband's position and was probably the area's leading socialite. She's described as having been quite a beauty with luscious locks of long red hair. She and her husband resided in one of the suites in the luxurious 4-story Southern Hotel, which is described as having been the nicest hotel in all the Southwest at that time. The hotel was also at the center of the town's social life, and the couple held court there, entertaining all the most important people, including investors, English lords, and even a U.S. president.
Damn. Okay, girl.
She loved her position in life, and her beauty and manners ensured that she was always the center of attention until one day when a man who was either an investor or grocer, it varies depending on who's telling the story, from Tennessee by the name of S.T. Cooney, moved to town with his wife, whose beauty and grace rivaled Ella's.
Uh-oh.
It wasn't long before Ella became extremely jealous of the new beauty and saw her as a threat to her own lofty position as leading socialite. So, she decided to take the woman down a few pegs. And either she or possibly her and her husband both began spreading the rumor that this new beauty to town was a prostitute and that Cooney had left Tennessee with her because of a scandal. And so she just spread this around. And within like a week or so, this woman's reputation was like completely ruined to the point where she wouldn't even like leave the house.
All because she was
so
pretty.
Embarrassed. Yeah.
Just because she was pretty.
Pretty, and people liked her. And Ella was so pissed that somebody else was getting attention in this town.
That bitch. Okay, I take it back. That is not her vulva on that building. Okay.
So S.T. Cooney was livid at the situation, and he actually went so far as to file a slander suit against both Hammond and his wife. But then apparently he decided that the courts weren't moving quick enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so he challenged the general to a duel
Oh, no.
And shot him dead in either the street or in the hotel itself. So this guy takes out this Confederate general that he challenges to a duel. And this happens on July the 14th in 1890.
Damn.
He's arrested, tried, and convicted of manslaughter and sent to prison, but he's pardoned 2 years later. So he's pardoned. He gets out.
Wait, why was he pardoned? Because isn't dueling still murder?
Well, like, he was only charged with manslaughter.
But his intent was to kill the dude.
We're talking.
Okay. Go ahead.
So he gets out and he takes all, gets his wife and he disappears. He's like, fuck this place. I'm out of here. Ella, on the other hand, goes into an absolute rage when she finds out that he had been pardoned. Because apparently she hadn't been doing good this whole time. But when she finds that out, she starts taking to the streets, screaming and calling down curses from the Almighty to destroy the town and to let the trees take it back over. And she's just, and she does this for weeks. So the townspeople are like, they kind of feel sorry for her because, you know, she's grieving. And even though she started the whole fucking thing, like, she's obviously not in a good place. But then after only a couple of weeks of doing this, suddenly they have bigger problems on their plate than this redheaded woman running through the town screaming. The Tassiebell furnace inexplicably explodes.
Oh, no.
Then the electrical plant that provides all the electricity burns to the ground. Then the Texas governor at the time, Jim Hogg, refuses to amend the Texas Alien Land Act, which meant that funds for the town could no longer come from foreign investors. Apparently, they couldn't come from foreign investors as it was, but there were, they were trying to push and get him to do an amendment so that they could, so they could keep expanding this thing. And even though Hogg himself was from the area, he, after years of being coaxed, decided against it. So that was a huge blow to the town. And with Hammond dead, his connections and his money are gone. So they have a furnace that blew up, the electric plant burns to the ground, and they don't have any way to get any more money.
Oh, yikes.
So by 1899, the town is nearly vacant. Blevins continued to try to resuscitate the town all the way up into like 1910. But he finally gives up because there's just no chance. The Southern Hotel manages to stay standing until 1926. In the previous 33 years, there had only been one tenant, the maintenance man.
Like at all?
Yeah.
Like ever?
Since the mid 1890s, he was the only person in it.
To ever stay in there?
Well, no, because everybody stayed in there back in the day. Until the town started going south and people started pulling out. But the hotel stood till 26 with the maintenance man just hanging out there and living there. And then it burns to the ground.
Oh, my God.
I think the last thing that was standing was the schoolhouse, which was also vacant by then, which they bulldozed in the 30s to build Highway 69. Huh. So, yeah, you have this town that like is a shooting star that just like rises up out of nothing, becomes extremely prominent. And then this woman curses it over
jealousy. If she just would have made friends
right
with that woman.
Yeah.
None of this may have ever happened.
Yeah. Because I mean,
for one, Hammonds wouldn't have been dead.
Exactly.
So his money wouldn't have dried up.
Exactly. So whether or not the curse was real of, you know, all the unfortunate events, the fact that her pettiness is what brought down the entire town is something else.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And Hammond was actually like, this was like a side note that I came across that would mean something to you. He was actually the first oil prospector in Texas. He drilled his first well in Saratoga and he owned the leases for Sour Lake and Spindletop, but he never drilled them.
Why did he not drill?
He didn't need to. He already had enough. And they didn't actually hit those until what? The mid It was the 1900s, wasn't it? Yeah. So he was sitting on so much fucking money. And
but because him and his wife was being stupid, lost it all. Y'all don't be jealous. Ladies, make friends. Be friends with each other. You're all beautiful in your own way.
Yeah.
Man, that's wild. Holy shit balls.
So yeah, we're going to have to take a drive out there one of these days.
Yeah, for sure.
The remnants of one of the blast furnaces is still there. It's in a park now, but pretty much everything else supposedly is gone.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah. To have been built that quickly and that robustly. Mm-hmm. And then women, shoot. A pissed off woman, man. She will. But I mean, he was just defending his lady. I mean, like his lady was being slandered. And back then that was a huge thing.
Yeah.
Like that means they wouldn't have been invited to parties. They wouldn't have been able to go in certain social circles. Well,
and if you,
because of that.
And the thing was, is that, you know, Ella ran the social circles,
right?
That hotel where she lived, that's where everything happened. So yeah, if she was against you, the whole fucking town was against you. So yeah, what could you possibly do?
Yeah.
So,
but he wasn't standing for that shit.
Yeah. And go it brought him. Down an entire town.
Go him. All right. T.S. S.T. What was his name? T.S.
S.T. Cooney.
S.T. Mm-hmm. I was thinking T.S. Eliot. Totally different person. S.T. Cooney. All right.
But yeah. So her curse worked because, you know, this is East Texas. And
oh, yeah.
If you don't mow for a week, the trees take over. So I imagine.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that live in these woods. And I guess if you cry out to them enough, they will
answer. Something will happen. Yeah.
Yeah. They will definitely respond. So.
Yeah.
Crazy. So,
that's the curse of the redhead.
Yeah. Be careful in East Texas, y'all. If you decide to come sightseeing and you're not from here, our woods are not normal. It's not normal wilderness. And not only are there crazy people that live out here, but there's shit in them woods.
Yeah, for real. There's just like a saying that there's something about the woods out here.
Yeah.
They're different. Mm-hmm. Like you can go to Dallas and go around the like Great Trinity Forest and all these other like pretty densely wooded places in Texas, and they don't have what we have out here.
Yeah.
There's just something different in these woods.
For sure. Yeah. So we have a question.
All right.
This question is, if you had to live in any horror franchise, which one would it be and why?
Well, I would have to say it's not technically a franchise.
It's got
to
be at least 3 movies.
Can't do it.
That's what a franchise is. Fine. Tell me what your answer is and I'll tell you.
Because my answer.
Let me see.
Is an easy one because you should know this. If I had to live in a horror movie, period, I would live in Nightbreed. I would live in Midian with the monsters. And have a great time.
But you're not a monster. They would eat you.
No, because you don't know that you're not a monster until you go to Midian.
Yeah, but you're not just going to find your way to Midian. That's the point.
Boone did.
But you had to have the serial killer setting him up. So right. And they thought he was a bad guy. Like there was a whole.
And then he dies on the grounds of Midian. And then he becomes one of them.
So what if you die on the grounds of Midian and you're not a monster? You're just dead.
I'm gonna just no, it's fine, it'll work.
But that also means that you live in with all those monsters in your reality. That's kind of funny you went with that one, because I went with Hellraiser. Mm-hmm. Simply because you don't touch the box,
you're fine.
Just don't try to fucking solve the puzzle box and call the fucking Cinnabon. Well,
depends though, because if you like in the, was it the third one where all those other people that get torn to shreds don't call the Cinnabites. The Cinnabites just get released.
Is that the one with the dude with the CDs in his head?
Yeah. None of those people.
But that one really don't opened, make sense.
None of those people opened the Lament configuration.
But they was messing around with them people that did.
Well, technically, I think the explanation is that they stood in Hell's way. So
I wouldn't be standing. I'd step.
You don't know if you're standing in Hell's way.
To the side. I wouldn't be like, whoa, that guy's got pins in his head. Maybe I should go talk to him.
But that's not how it goes.
I don't know. Yeah.
Remember that when she runs into the church and that poor priest is just trying to get her to calm down. Mm-hmm. And then the Cenobites come in and they kill him. He's not standing in Hell's way.
What does he say to them?
No, he says, she's like, I'm being followed by demons. And he's like, oh, no, my child, demons are just parables. And then they burst in the door and she says, what the fuck is that? And yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe I'm thinking like the first two movies is what I'm going with.
Yeah.
Cause as long as you didn't go to the house and get seduced in to the house for Uncle, what's his name?
Frank.
Uncle Frank to fucking kill you and eat you.
Yeah.
And you weren't in the hospital in the second one. You fine.
But then you also have to think about like an Inferno where like all of that detective's friends get destroyed because
he's a shitty person, but he fucked with the box.
He did.
He fucked with the box. None of the other
people did. He did. Remember his little friend?
I don't hang out with detectives, though.
But his little friend was innocent. His little detective friend didn't save him. No, see, the Hellraiser rules don't always. Yeah, no, you're not safe just because you don't open the Lament configuration.
Okay.
You have to like.
But you have a lesser chance, though. I mean, because if you're like if you're in Friday the 13th or Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Like. You just boinking and you're getting slashed. So
yeah.
I'm fucking dead. And then and all the other ones like Nightmare on Elm Street. Fuck no. Am I messing with anything in my sleep?
Yeah.
That's important to me. That's my time.
Yeah.
You don't get to go in there in my time. And no, I don't like that. Fuck that guy. Man, that made me so mad when I was a kid because then I couldn't sleep because I was scared. And the only thing I wanted to do was sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That was terrible. And plus, he killed Johnny Depp. Who does that? Who killed 90s or 80s Johnny Depp?
Yeah.
That's fucking wrong, first of all. I'm still probably going to go with Hellraiser. I'm going to hedge my bets.
We'll see, because that was my backup because I was like, at least if you ended up fucked up, it would be interesting. Like
quite painful.
Yeah, but because they're all quite painful, but at least in like Hellraiser you become like,
you don't die though. You don't die. They keep you alive and torture you.
No. You there's a lot of,
he's like, I have so many pleasures and pains to show you.
I have such sights to show you.
That means you're not dying for a while. You got to see a bunch of stuff. That's going to hurt. And then what if they take your eyeballs out? Oh no. And little hooks come in and spread you apart. Don't touch the box. People, don't touch the box.
Yeah.
Don't piss off redheads. Don't touch the box. No, fuck that redhead. She was wrong. She shouldn't have been hating. Mm-hmm. That's her own fault. I mean, and I like redheads. They are bad bees, man. But nah, don't be cray like that.
Yeah.
That makes me mad.
Well.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Head on over to our website, which is mystifiedpod.com. There you can find info on this episode, all of our other episodes. You can find our merch. You can find our social medias. If you're not sure where to find us on Instagram or Facebook, there's links directly from our website, which is really great. If you want to leave us a review or follow our show, to get updates whenever we upload if you want to get updates whenever we upload an episode, go to our website to do that as well. You can literally click a button that says rate us and subscribe from there. So we've made it super easy at mystifiedpod.com, or you can go to our Instagram at mystified_pod, or check us out on Facebook in our really cool group with a lot of our really rad friends and fans. at Mystified Podcast Discussion Group. We are now releasing on Mondays instead of Fridays. Did I say that?
I think so.
But just FYI, that's what it is again. We've had some changes in our life schedules, and so we have to switch some stuff around, but hopefully you guys don't mind. We appreciate that. Any parting words before we go? No?
No.
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 Oh. Wow. Ladies, don't be catty. There's enough room for all of us. We need to raise each other up, not bring the city down. Mm-hmm. Or unless we're bringing the city down together. Yeah. Let's do it together.
Yeah, an alliance is always better than a...
True. If you're in East Texas and you wish for it hard enough, you may get it. So please make sure you are wishing for something that you are prepared to receive, because there's things in them where... Oh, boo. There's things in them damn woods. Dim woods. But until next time, bye.
Mystified. Podcast.